Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
And those are awesome sounds on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Power belongs to you, Halal Africa, featuring Ntokozo Mbambo. Family, we are not live, so we are unable to take your calls today, but I promise she has to come back. I guess you will come back.
Definitely.
I'll drive and so we can take calls.
Yeah, I'll drive another 3 hours.
You know. My queen, earlier on, you spoke about the support that you've heard from home, and you also spoke about the one that you had from the sister of your ex-husband. Tell me more about the support that you got from your own parents, and when did you decide, now I need to talk to my parents about this?
I told my dad first before I was able to tell my mom about the challenge. And I know it's like, under normal circumstances, it would be this girl would go to her mother,
mom first,
you know. Yes. And I have a very close relationship with both my parents. Mm-hmm. I have a very closer relationship to my mom as opposed to my dad. But the reason I found it easier to talk to my dad because I was thinking, oh, well, he's a pastor. He must have seen all, you know, he must have dealt with, you know, with a lot of issues. But at the time, when I went to my dad, it was, in fact, I made an appointment with him at the church office as a pastor to say, look, we're having challenges. Mm. I didn't say we are divorcing. Mm. Told him we are having challenges. I think you need to talk to us, not him. Mm. You know, you need to talk to us. We're having challenges. And he did. And by the way, my dad and my ex-husband also had a very good relationship.
Right.
As his, remember, you grew up in church, you know, a very, 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 very good relationship as a pastor and, you know, a son in the house. So I just said, just talk to us however way you choose to do it. But we need intervention. Did not go into the details. My dad is, besides being streetwise, is a very patient man.
Yeah.
So even if it happened, I don't think he called him immediately after I went to him to say we need help. Mm. I'm not even aware when exactly he might have spoken to him.
Yeah.
You know. So that was the first. I just told him that we have challenges, but the divorce, when I decided to go home. Because I'm the one that actually packed.
Initiate, okay.
You know, not initiate, but I packed because I was like, I am not functioning, you know. I remember that was, you know, the decision. But the packing my bags was an issue of maybe this will wake him up a bit. you know, went home. When I went home that day, I remember the Lord. This was after a year of really trying without telling them exactly what was going on.
Mm.
A year of trying, spoke to the sister and did the whole counseling thing and all the prayers, and it was just not working.
Yeah.
And I remember I packed my bags that day, and the Lord, that's what I'm saying. Even right in the deepest, you know, dungeon that you find ourselves in, the Lord still does order our steps. Mm. So when I went home, that was the first time my mom heard about it.
Okay.
And
did they as a family picked up anything before?
That's what broke my mom's heart. She said, how come I never picked this up?
Mm.
It's like, nothing would have prepared me for this.
Sure.
I did not see this coming.
Mm.
And that's that thing, the issue. And I was not pretending. I don't think I was pretending as though everything was fine. I was doing the whole covering thing to say, whatever happens, you don't expose to your family.
Mm.
You know,
because you would forgive and they would stay there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Many years.
So anyway. You know, I don't think maybe it, I don't know, but I don't think it was pretense. Mm. I was trying to, you know, salvage and save this.
Mm.
But you know, when I went home, I was like, I can't live a lie. That was another thing, and I'm like, I cannot live a lie. This is what it has come. It has come to. Let me accept that it has come to this. That I can't. There's nothing that can be done. Went home. How my parents supported me. I remember my dad said to me. And in fact, I texted my dad. He was actually on his way back from preaching in Gauteng. He was traveling with my mom. I sent him a text, and I'm like, Papa, I've decided I'm going home. My dad said to me, I would believe that you prayed and thought long about it.
Mm.
Whatever decision you make, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'll just support you.
Mm.
And that's exactly what my parents did. They yeah. never influenced me into taking any decision.
Mm.
They never said, things are, they're like, whatever decision you take, we will support you.
Okay.
And I think that was very reassuring. At some point, I went to my dad and I'm like, but you're a pastor. This is going to, me going through divorce, I mean,
it's going to affect the ministry.
You know,
yeah.
You know, my dad said to me, Nungi, before I am your pastor, I'm your father.
I'm your dad.
And I only have one chance in life to father you.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying, whatever decision you take. And that is because he also, I had to tell him, because I had to be accountable, the effort that I put in.
Mm.
This is what I tried to do.
Mm.
This is how long it has been going,
mm.
you know. And so that it's not an issue of, at a first challenge, you just decided to pick your bags and go. And they've been very supportive. There was never a single day where my parents told me what it is that I'm supposed to do, which is why at the beginning I said, even after I had the conviction in my heart, I needed to say, Lord, I'm taking a step to getting into this marriage because there is this conviction in me, but I needed to know that it's a decision that I made so that I don't blame people. You know, that also played a role. I had nobody to blame.
Mm.
I didn't blame, oh, I received a prophetic word from somebody saying,
it was you and God.
You know, and I was able to go back to the same God.
Were you angry at him though?
At
God?
No.
Okay. Were you angry at yourself?
No.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying, but Sbongile, I need to say this. I think forgiveness played a role in all this. My not being angry at God.
Mm-hmm.
My not being angry at myself, because forgiveness is a powerful weapon that the enemy unforgiveness.
Hmm.
It's a very powerful weapon that the enemy uses to imprison us.
Hmm.
And when the Lord said to me, I remember vividly when the Lord said to me, forgive him. The words that I uttered to the Lord was, Lord, my flesh and all that I am.
Mm.
Is screaming the opposite of what you are instructing me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. By faith, I forgive him.
Yeah.
And when I said by faith, I forgive, there was this comfort that came upon me. I don't know what depression is. I don't know what it is not to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly the day when the Lord said, forgive him.
Mm.
And I said, by faith, I forgive him, because my flesh was saying different.
Otherwise.
I mean, my flesh was saying justice for Nunki.
Crucify.
You know? and when I said by faith, I forgive him, a few months later, I was like, Lord, I don't know what depression is.
Mm.
I don't know. Why? What happened? The Lord said to me, you know, when you said by faith, I forgive him, you left me no choice but to step in.
Okay.
Because faith is of God. It's not something that I generate myself.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says we've been given a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us, mm-hmm. we've been given faith. So mm-hmm. faith is a God thing. So when I said by faith I forgive him, I said to God, I can't do it within my own strength.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come to the party.
Yeah.
You're going to have to help me do this.
Mm.
And is he not faithful?
Sure, he is.
He is faithful. We just need to cooperate with God when it comes to healing.
Mm.
When it comes to our healing, we need to cooperate with God.
So if you, do you think that if that was not your journey towards your healing, you'd still be stuck there?
I think, listen, there's no way going about it. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
I'll tell you why I think I'll still be stuck there. There were, because this thing, man, it's a roller coaster. There were points where the flesh would rise and I want to be angry and I want to, but I would have to pull myself back to the word
sure.
to say, I understand this is what you're feeling,
mm.
but we don't walk by feelings.
We walk
remember,
by
we
faith.
Walk by faith.
Yeah.
You forgave by faith. So you're going to have to sustain this forgiveness by faith throughout.
Mm.
So with those episodes of almost relapsing and wanting to be angry, I realized that if I had yielded to unforgiveness, I wouldn't be where I am.
Sure.
And like I'm saying, unforgiveness is a tool.
Mm.
It's a tool that, it's a powerful tool
mm.
that the enemy uses to imprison us. And God can't work where the tools of the enemy
yeah.
are still at work.
Mm.
You know, because you don't want to confuse where the victory comes from, you know.
Mm, mm.
God can only work only where he's got freedom and free will
mm.
to work. And he can't work in a heart of unforgiveness.
Sure. I remember when God said to me, forgive him so that you can take care of the boy.
Yeah.
If you don't, you won't be able to take care of your son. How did the separation affect your son? And how did forgiveness play a role
yes.
in loving your son?
So he was still a very small boy when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And because I forgave, look, you, there can never be a peaceful co-parenting where there is unforgiveness.
Of course.
Forget it.
Of course.
Forget it. So in, when I, and I believe that when the Lord said forgive him, he had the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It was not just about that moment.
Mm.
It was not just about me.
Mm.
It was about this little boy
mm.
who now has, who has the most beautiful relationship with his father.
Wow.
We have the most beautiful co-parenting relationship.
Wow.
And I look at it and I'm like, Lord, I tie it all to that moment when you said to me,
by faith,
forgive him.
Yes.
And I said, by faith,
yeah,
I forgive him.
Because mm-hmm.
unforgiveness is also a spirit.
Mm.
And it can, you can transfer it, mm. you know, mm. into
the, another person.
Into another person. Your son, like the son, mm. you know, and because aura, you know, you can fake everything, but you can't fake aura.
Mm.
You know, you can't fake a presence.
Mm.
Of an evil spirit or good spirit, you can't fake that. Mm. And my son is still growing, but I am so glad that because of forgiveness, he gets to experience the beauty of this beautiful. And I watch them, and I'm like, I wouldn't want anything else,
mm-hmm.
you know, other than this for my son and his father.
Mm. What are some of the lessons that you have learned on this journey?
Whew, I learned a lot of things, man. I don't even know, the biggest lesson for me, and I must say, it's the forgiveness.
Yeah.
Having have to live, just let things go.
Mm.
You know, when somebody offends you, because when the word forgive says forgive, it's for our own benefit.
Mm.
But also to say, I'm not only living life for myself.
Mm.
There are people around. With that forgiveness,
mm.
my family still has a good relationship with him.
Wow.
I remember I said to my dad this one time, I'm like, Papa, I was not there when God called you
mm.
into ministry.
Mm.
And I was not there when he brought this man into church as a young boy.
Mm.
I don't want to get to heaven one day and I'm the reason why you were not able to shepherd him because we went through divorce. I said to him, continue to shepherd him. Continue to be his pastor. You know, because honestly speaking, I think his soul matters more than this failing marriage.
Yeah.
And he's still a child of God.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
And the, also the issue of when you forgive, you liberate the next, the person that you are forgiving. I remember I said to a friend of mine, I'm like, I mean, we love saying, yeah, well, I forgive for myself.
Yeah.
And not for the other person. And I'm like, imagine that was God's attitude towards us.
Eesh. Where would we be?
And he says, no, I forgive the, their sins for myself. That's not the God kind of forgiveness,
yeah.
You know. No, God does not treat us like that. And we follow him. Mm. You know, we are products of forgiveness.
Mm.
And we should do it God's way. The issue of, no, I forgive him, but I forgive him for myself.
Mm.
That's not the forgiveness that the kind of forgiveness that I received from God.
Yeah.
So when you forgive, when I forgave him, I was like, Lord, let it also liberate him.
Yeah.
And I loved what you said that, you know, when you forgave, it liberated, you know, your husband.
Mm.
And that's the God kind of forgiveness.
Mm.
When we forgive somebody, they are supposed to be liberated. Not that it's not my responsibility that, he doesn't seem to be liberated. And maybe there's some, no. I just do my part, my heart. The posture of my heart plays a major role. I also... Another lesson that I took, you know, from this whole thing is, look, I take responsibility of the decisions that you made. Like I said to you, I had to sit myself down and I was like, yes, there was a conviction in my heart. I moved at that conviction, but take the responsibility that you walked into this marriage. Yes, but I walked in with God. And that I can still run to him even when things are falling apart.
Mm.
That just because things are falling apart, I don't know, I can't run away from God. I can't say, yeah, things are falling apart, therefore I want to be far from God. And I'm like, that's another thing that I learned, that things can be falling apart and you still maintain that relationship with God.
Mm.
Your intimate relationship with God. When I was going through the process of this whole divorce and I was at home and I'm like, but Lord, how do I answer the question? It came, was it your will? Was this marriage your will?
Mm.
And if it's your will, why did it fail? You know, I remember one day the Lord said to me, was it my will that Adam and Eve be in the Garden of Eden?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was your will. And... Did I chuck them out of the Garden of Eden?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes. Did that change the fact that it was my will that they are in the Garden of Eden? I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
And the Lord was like, it can be, just because something is my will, the decisions that people make and how they live their lives, it can not destroy, destroy something that's God's will, but that doesn't change the fact that it was initially God's will.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Those were healing moments for me.
Mm.
Those were and I don't think I was trying to make myself feel better about it, but I was, you know, the decisions that we make can destroy something very beautiful, the acts that we make. So it is important that we make sure that we cooperate with God, even in living out his will for us.
All right. I think we're going to curb it here today. I think next time when we meet, I need you to guide us into how do we know it's God's will? And how do we keep that which is God's will going? Okay, in this case, even if it's God's will, and you want to do God's will, another person might be pulling on the other side, you know. Because maybe at that moment they are not even aware that it is God's will. Then after later on in the years, a person says, "Oh, that was God's will right there." We do that.
Yeah, you know? It's true.
And we do that in so many things in our lives, where Christianity is concerned. And so because of such, we find ourselves, sometimes now having to go via a Cape before we come back.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah,
so true.
You were supposed to just go to Durban, but now you have to go via Cape to Cairo and then back.
Yeah.
Takes a little bit longer for you to get to where God wants you to. For somebody who is listening to us today, what words of encouragement, whom they're saying, "Nungi, I find me in you, in your journey." What would you say to them? How would you encourage them?
My encouragement, whatever happens, your relationship with God, that's the most important thing. And because, like, stick to that. That's the one relationship. You see, that intimate relationship with God, that's what carried me through that season of my life. So staying close to God, in prayer, in the word. So, you know, there were times where I could not read the Bible for myself because I was just too, I was in so much pain. But you know what I would do, Spongile? Even while I'm sleeping at night, there would be sermons playing on my phone. Because I was like, "Lord, I know that I'm going to be sleeping, but I know that my spirit will grasp whatever it is that I'm listening to throughout the whole night." I needed to maintain, to make sure that my relationship with God, because that's what kept the foundation of my life firm when this particular aspect of my life was falling apart. But being close and intimate with God, serving, I kept on serving in the house of the Lord. I didn't allow that. I kept on singing in the worship team. But the most, and that was not because I wanted to distract myself, you know, that's just who I am. But the Lord, with that intimate relationship with the Lord, things were grounded. But the other thing, check the people, pray to the Lord that in your season of pain, there are people that hear the voice of God that surround you, because that will determine your outcome. You will come out of the storm, but how, in what condition are you coming out of that storm? And your surrounding plays a major role. It plays a major role.
Who do you surround yourself with?
Who do you surround yourself with in that season of pain? Because they're speaking. Because, you know, season of pain, because pain is monstrous, Spongile. It can change one's DNA, you know, one's behavior. It's monstrous and it is powerful. Pain is powerful. That thing is powerful.
Yeah.
And it's got to be yielded, you know, to a higher power. But who is speaking into your life in that season of pain?
Wow.
So your relationship with God, the people that surround you, That is the most.
I'm going to ask you to just pray for a marriage that's going through a difficult time. I'm just hoping for them. It doesn't mean separate, divorce. But if you find yourself in that space, still, I think we need to pray for those who also find themselves in such, because there's some certain things. You'd want to keep them, but they don't want to be kept.
It's so true.
You're trying to pull, but everything is going the opposite way. And what I've learned in my journey is that when you let go and let God, all things fall into place. All things work together for good. Yeah. Like, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense that you have gone through that. But I'm sure in the coming weeks, we will find out.
Yeah.
Did you find out why you went through that? and all of that.
Yeah.
So if we can just pray for somebody who's trying to pull, trusting God and hoping, and those ones who are like, "I don't know what's happening in my marriage, but I'm trusting God gave me this marriage and I'm trusting Him for this marriage and I'm trusting Him to come through." Can we just take that moment?
Yes. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord. we still believe in the midst of adversity that you are the author of marriage. And Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, who are listening today. And Father, they're saying, I don't even know what it is that I'm supposed to do. We are asking, Lord, for firstly, great comfort. Comfort that comes by the Holy Spirit. That you reach down to places where nobody can reach. I pray that, Father God, you by your Spirit, you invade the spaces where pain has made itself a god in their hearts, in their lives. We dethrone pain as a god. And Father God, we pray that may the healing power of the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus Christ just invade those spaces. Father, I pray that, Father, may today be the day of their greatest comfort. We know you to be the comforter. And Father, I pray that may the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowing what it is that has to be done, let it, Father God, invade the spaces in their lives. For those that are feeling discouraged, Father, because things have been so hard, we first pray for the spirit of courage and encouragement in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for their minds, O God, that whatever decision, whatever step, whatever thing that needs to be done, may their steps never be guided, O God, by the flesh. May their steps not be guided, O God, by any ill spirit. May the spirit of God, Lord, we don't even know what kind of decision or what kind of direction you will take them, but we pray for your peace, the peace of God that transcends human understanding. I pray that, Father, let it be what guards their hearts and their minds. Lord, we cannot overlook the fact that marriages have been under so much attack. We cannot be oblivious to that. But Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, uphold them, O God, with your right hand of righteousness. And Father, we declare that the enemy will never have victory over their lives, over their families, in the mighty name of Jesus. But most of all, O God, I pray that may their relationship with you stay intact. Because once that is in place, everything, even it doesn't matter how much everything is shaking. The Bible says, oh God, even when the earth quakes, it is you, oh God, that holds the pillars. Even as their marriages are quaking, I pray that, Father God, you hold the pillars of their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we triumph, oh God, in all situations. We are more than conquerors, not because we see it, not because we feel it, but because of Christ who is in us, our hope of glory. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever outcome, oh God, they might find themselves in, my Father, I pray that the peace of God should be the one that has the final say in their lives. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. Amen.
And amen. And amen. Thank you so much, my queen, for ministering unto us this awesome, awesome day. So for family members who are seeking to talk to you directly, maybe they're like, I need some advice because this is where I'm at. Mm. Or that is similar to something that I'm, maybe one is struggling with forgiveness or some, you know, it can be any. It doesn't even have to be like in a marriage. So if one finds themselves seeking to talk to you directly, are you reachable?
Yes. Look, I do respond to my DMs.
Okay.
On social media, I do. So
what are your handles?
So my handles are Nunki Koma. That's it. Yeah. On Instagram, on Facebook, Nunki Koma. You'll find me there.
All right, then. Thank you so much. May the Lord keep keeping you. I can't wait for our next talk.
I'm looking forward to it already. Thank you so much for having me. And I love you, family. God richly bless you.
Ulwazi oluthe vetshe, impilo engcono, nothando oluthe gabalala. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.